Medicaid patients sometimes find themselves turned away from dentist offices across the country. Historically, this has been due to very low Medicaid payment rates that result in financial losses for dentists who choose to accept these patients. We're talking about access to dental care and the challenges of Medicaid coverage for dental benefits. Wisconsin is addressing this issue with a pilot program. We'll learn specifics on that later this hour. But first, a look at the issue from a broader perspective. Austin Fracht is director of the Partnered Evidence-Based Policy Resource Center at the VA Boston Healthcare System. He's an associate professor with Boston University's School of Public Health and an adjunct associate professor with the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He blogs at the Incidental Economist and recently wrote a piece for the New York Times. It's titled, How Dental Inequality Hurts Americans. Austin, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Why are Americans experiencing a lack of access to dental care? What are some of the core issues behind this?
Well, the one I focused on in my piece in the New York Times pertained to Medicaid. The Medicaid program varies from state to state, and there are many states that don't offer dental coverage for Medicaid beneficiaries, and some states only offer very limited coverage. And that leaves many people with oral hygiene and oral care needs without good access to that care.
So how many states have you found that don't have dental benefits in their Medicaid programs? Because I think there are recent numbers from just last month.
Yeah, there are recent numbers out. And just going in the other direction, there are 17 states that have extensive benefits, meaning, you know, I think that would be comparable to what you'd get with, say, private coverage, so they have extensive coverage from the Medicaid programs, but all the other states either have limited, emergency-only, or no dental benefits. And I'd say the most problematic types are the emergency-only care or no dental benefits, and there are 17 states in those categories.
Why are states lacking the coverage for dental care? What's holding states back at this point?
I think the principal reason is that it costs money, and what you see over time is that even states that do offer dental coverage under their Medicaid programs will sometimes drop it or drop it for certain populations when they need to cut their budget. You know, if there's a perception that you need to cut somewhere, you know, that's one of the possibilities. But that is the main obstacle to providing that care.
You describe in your piece this relationship that we perhaps don't think about too often between oral health and the ability to get a job. How can bad teeth reinforce economic disadvantages?
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. It turns out, and this is actually intuitive, the appearance of someone either consciously or unconsciously gives you an impression about who they are, their intelligence, and their ability to do a job. And there have been studies of people who are in positions of hiring, so HR people and so forth, and they'll show them pictures of people with oral disfigurements and problems with oral health and people who don't have those problems. And they judge those with oral health problems to be less intelligent, and that's without knowing anything about them other than what they look like. And that can decrease their chances of getting a job. In fact, one-third of Medicaid enrollees without dental care have expressed that they have problems finding a job because of that oral health problems.
And I would assume braces, too, could factor into this. Families who have the means can provide a child braces to straighten teeth.
Yeah, I think anything that is disfiguring, out of the ordinary, suggestive of you know, lower socioeconomic status, just has this subconscious trigger for many people of lower intelligence, lower ability, whether based in fact or not.
Austin Fracht is with us. He's director of the Partnered Evidence-Based Policy Resource Center at the VA Boston Healthcare System. He's also an associate professor with Boston University's School of Public Health, talking about inequalities in dental care across America, close to home here in Wisconsin. Getting your reaction as well at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced a lack of dental care? How did it affect you or your family? perhaps your children. What challenges did you face while trying to get oral care for you or your children? And what do you think should be done to address the inequality in America's dental health care? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Austin, you mentioned that not being able to see a dentist can be really bad news for someone's overall well-being. Can you walk us through the range of health risks associated with the lack of dental care?
Sure. And there's actually two things going on. So people with poor oral health are more likely to have other health problems. But first of all, that's in large part due to the fact that, there's factors that contribute to both. So, if you're just in poor health overall, you'll have poor dental health, but also other issues. So that's not a causation. That's just a correlation.
Mm.
But there are studies that show a direct causation between having certain dental problems and other health conditions. And the way that works is that if you get a bacterial infection in your gums or mouth somehow, that bacteria can circulate elsewhere in your body and can contribute to cardiovascular problems, heart disease, and strokes. And there's even studies that show that pregnant women with bacterial issues in their mouth and gum infections can experience a preterm delivery.
So what are states across the country doing to close these dental care gaps? We've seen a lottery in Oregon, for instance.
I don't know in great detail what different states are doing. That's just a level of scrutiny I haven't gone to in researching for the article I did. But I do know that over time, as budgets permit, states have added dental coverage, where they can. But again, when budgets get tight, I would expect some of those would also drop coverage.
Let's bring in a caller here. Let's go to Laura in Waukegan, Illinois. Hi, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm familiar with the dental program in Wisconsin and Illinois right now because my grandkids, my son-in-law and daughter don't earn enough to have a dental coverage for the kids, so they use the state program. And they end up having to drive like 40, 50 miles to find a dentist, to even be covered. And other times, my son-in-law had to basically knock his own tooth out because he had no dental coverage. But I also work at a nursing home in Illinois, and I've been here for 8 years. So the state either approves coverage for the elderly or takes it away. Just in January, they decreased the benefits again. So all the people in my nursing home aren't going to be able to have their teeth cleaned. And then we have other people who have emergencies, and they can be seen by the health department as the speaker said, just an emergency basis. But routine coverage is always being cut when the state budgets are being cut and rearranged.
Laura, thanks so much for bringing your personal perspective on this and so many points as well. Austin, how would you respond?
Well, Laura spoke to exactly the dynamics that happen with state budgets. When things get tight, dental coverage is one of the things that gets cut. So she's experienced that. She also talked about the challenges of some people finding a dentist. Over 50 million Americans live in areas that are designated as dental professional shortage areas, so they will have to drive very far to find a dentist that will cover them. And then I think, as was mentioned at the top of the program, many Medicaid programs just don't pay very much. So even if you find a dentist that you can get to, they may not take Medicaid, and you may be out of luck and have to drive even further.
Let's go to Linda now in Pewaukee. Hi, Linda.
Taking my call.
Sure.
I had a general question. It's something that I've kind of puzzled over, and that is how did teeth and dental care get separated out from health care? I think everyone agrees that teeth are pretty important, yet it's almost like they're an option.
Great question, Linda. Austin, go ahead.
Yeah, this is usually referred to as an accident of history, though nothing happens completely accidentally. There is a history to this. So way back in the mid-1800s, when medical care was starting to professionalize, and this kind of extended through the 1900s, there were efforts by some to include dental care in medical education. And dental professionals even approached various medical colleges and said, "Hey, you should include dental care as part of your medical education, and therefore it would be kind of integrated into, you know, what we think of as healthcare." And they were rejected. And I actually don't know exactly why that was, but the consequence is that the dental profession set up their own dental schools, and that just from the start that just separated, you know, medical and dental into two different categories for training. And I think the rest of the system just kind of followed that that logic. So they have different insurance for many people, and they're treated differently, obviously, by Medicaid programs and so forth. So it's an accident of history. It doesn't mean it has to stay that way. It may remain that way because it's of some advantage to dentists for some reason not to be integrated. I don't know the details there, but usually when things are the way they are and stay the way they are, there's some financial advantage at play.
Let's bring in Jeff now in Appleton. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm an executive director of a nonprofit dental clinic, and it's run by all-volunteer dentists. We have over 85 dentists who volunteer their time here, and we provide or offer free dental home to all children who are in the free and reduced lunch program in the three counties that we serve, in Winnebago, Outagamie, and Calumet counties. And there are clinics like this throughout the state. I just want to make sure that your listeners were aware of that.
Jeff, thank you so much for calling in with this information. Austin, do you see these types of free dental clinics around the country?
Well, I'm not a deep enough scholar of this area to investigate that, but I think it would be valuable to provide listeners with how to access those. And I'm just curious. I don't know if the caller's still on the line or you have time to ask him, but I'm just curious how they are funded. There must be some costs for equipment, space, and so forth. And are there supplemental state programs or even philanthropic donations that help?
We do not get any funding from the state or federal government. We do get the very reduced Medicaid dollars, which help us, but the majority of our funding comes from donations, both corporate and individual donors.
I see, and I can see how those dollars would be stretched pretty far if you're able to get volunteer professionals to do the care, because that would be a big cost otherwise.
That makes a big difference. We also get dental students from Marquette Dental School that come up here 4 days a week and perform certain amount of work within our clinic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of getting practice there as well, and also serving the patients. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming into the conversation. And Austin Fracht, are you optimistic as we close the conversation here about more states offering Medicaid dental coverage in the near future?
Oh, it's a great question. I don't know. I think it's helpful to keep raising the issue as I have and others have, and that can only help. But I think this really has to be at a state by state level because it does interact so much with budget issues, I think some states maybe can be moved on this, and others I'm sure cannot be.
Austin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Austin Fracht is director of the Partnered Evidence-Based Policy Resource Center at the VA Boston Healthcare System. He's associate professor with Boston University School of Public Health and an adjunct associate professor with the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. He blogs at The Incidental Economist and recently wrote a piece for the New York Times about how unequal access to a dentist in America is detrimental to the economy. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced a lack of dental care? How did it impact you and your family? What do you think should be done about access to dental health care? And if you're a dentist, what is your perspective on all this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back in just a moment on the Ideas Network. Trying to find a dentist who will accept Medicaid in Wisconsin has been an issue for years. Now the state is increasing payments to some dentists who take Medicaid patients to see if it will help improve access to care. We're exploring access to dental care across the nation, here in Wisconsin as well, in this hour of the morning show. WPR reporter Shemaine Mills compiled a three-part series on oral health care in the state. In this final installment, she looks at how dentists want oral health care coverage to become a priority backed by additional dollars in the Medicaid system.
Dentists will tell you they deal with a lot of neglect. They often see patients who ignore their teeth. And dentists say they, too, are neglected, slighted by what they consider inadequate state funding. Monica Hebel is with the Wisconsin Dental Association. She recently compared their profession to a downtrodden fairy tale character.
We're like the little Cinderella stepchild. Oral health is. And so when we come, everybody says, oh, well, everybody wants an increase and their rates. And then that's kind of the door shuts in our face.
The most recent state budget increased money for a variety of health services like nursing homes, school mental health, and long-term support for children with disabilities. Previously, some dentists also got a boost with higher Medicaid rates in a four-county pilot program. State health officials haven't determined yet if paying dentists more increases access. A formal evaluation of the Medicaid pilot is supposed to come out this fall. Even those who want more state funds say it's a complicated problem with no silver bullet. It can be difficult for low-income patients to understand why tooth care is important, and the message can't sink in, Hebel says, with more pressing needs on their mind.
Because of so many of the other things that are going on in their lives, trying to pay the bills and get food on the table. And so when we talk about brushing twice a day, that just kind of goes down to the bottom of the list.
And if they need a dentist, they have to find one that takes Medicaid. That's just the first hurdle. Getting to the dentist can be difficult, says Michael Schwartz-Oscar. He oversees a nonprofit dental clinic in Green Bay called Oral Health Partnership. It's part of the state's pilot program.
Some of them have a lot of barriers to transportation. Some of them are looking day to day for jobs and job interviews. So we get a ton of cancellations, you know, and we have to overfill our schedule so that we can continue to be productive.
Another hurdle is the paperwork, not only for dentists, but the patients. Schwartz-Oscar.
One of the biggest barriers for all programs all around the nation, getting the health history, the informed consents back so that we can see children in our clinics is one of the barriers. So we keep working on that.
These obstacles are why only 30% of Wisconsin children on Medicaid got dental care in 2015, the worst rate in the country. And for adults, it's no better. Many of them end up in the ER, says Wisconsin Hospital Association's Laura Rose.
In 2016, there were over 32,000 emergency department visits for preventable oral health conditions. And when you look at the data and break it down, most of those people that are coming in have either abscesses or something that's occurred because of a lack of poor oral hygiene.
A new state law allows dental hygienists to provide limited treatment in nursing homes, primary care clinics, and other settings, something Rose calls a step in the right direction. There's also a bill to allow what are called dental therapists. They're mid-level providers similar to physician assistants in medicine. There may be no quick cure for improving dental access in the state. It's been a concern for decades, but the issue may finally be getting the attention that dentists have long sought. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that story was part of a three-part series on dental care in Wisconsin. You can hear all of the stories in Shemaine's reporting. Go to our website at WPR.org. Now let's turn to Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula. He's an associate professor for the program in dental public health and a researcher at Marquette University School of Dentistry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me today.
So from your vantage point, what do you see as the assessment of the state here in Wisconsin on dental inequality. Do you see it stacking up to what is going on across America?
I think it's the same story all over. I mean, in some matrices, some indices, Wisconsin may be faring poorly in terms of access to care or in terms of the number of people getting, especially children getting dental care, those who are on Medicaid. But on the other end, Wisconsin has a very strong preventive program. We have a very good school-based sealant program where student children do get some preventive procedures that are done, like placement of sealant or application of fluoride varnishes, et cetera.
And so, these programs, they come right to the school, sometimes with a huge RV, and the students go into the RV. Is that right?
Oh, I'm actually talking about something slightly different.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there are some programs where there is an RV that goes out to the schools where more definitive care is provided. But I'm talking about purely preventive programs where the hygienist with an assistant or so goes out and just places sealants. They do a dental examination, and if there is a need, for example, they try to refer those kids out. So no treatment procedures are actually provided within the schools. But the children do get screened. Children get some preventive procedures like placement of sealants, fluoride applications, and teeth cleanings, etc. And more importantly, the children are also taught how to brush their teeth properly, importance of brushing properly, eating properly, and things like that. So all of that is delivered in those schools. But when the hygienist finds that there is a need, I mean, the child has a cavity or whatnot, through the school nurse or through the letters that are sent home, they try to inform the parents about the need that the child has. Some programs do provide lists of dentists who would accept children on who are on public insurance programs. So I'm involved with a sealant program that Marquette University runs here in the Milwaukee area. So we try to bring some of those kids back into our Marquette's pediatric clinic and provide care here. And in some cases, we try to refer them out to dentists in the community who are willing to accept children who are on Medicaid.
Doctor, how prevalent is this issue where people are trying to see a dentist and a dentist is not taking Medicaid? Is this more common than we think? Do you encounter these patients?
I think it is very common. Like many large parts of the state are considered to be dental health shortage areas where there are fewer dentists. And then the Medicaid participation rates in Wisconsin are also low as compared to the national averages. I work for Marquette. I practice within the School of Dentistry, and we are the largest provider for Medicaid here in Wisconsin. So I personally see mostly, we get a lot of Medicaid patients, but I think people not being able to see dentists or not being able to find a dentist who see Medicaid patients is a significant problem nationally as well as here in Wisconsin.
What happens when patients don't get the access to the adequate oral health care? What happens when they miss these cleanings, miss these checkups?
Having a dental visit, in my mind, the primary importance is trying to catch the disease early and try to prevent it. And the dentist and the hygienist have an opportunity to tell the patients what to do right or what they are not doing right. For example, you see that someone has a cavity. You tell them, okay, you probably have to make these changes to your diet, make these changes to the way you're brushing your teeth. That can help stave off future disease, right? If someone cannot get into the dentist, any disease they have may remain untreated. And dental disease, dental caries especially, it's an irreversible disease. That is, once a cavity starts, it generally stops progressing, right? It continues to progress. And sooner or later, it ends up getting to the nerve tissue within the tooth, which is called the pulp. And once it gets there, the infection spreads to the jaw. Person is in a lot of pain, they cannot eat, and it requires something like a root canal treatment or in some cases even pulling out of the tooth. Okay, so that can lead to some serious consequences when someone needs dental care and they cannot really get access to a dentist to get that necessary care provided.
Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula stays with us. He's an associate professor for the program in dental public health. He's a researcher at Marquette University School of Dentistry. You can join in the conversation. Your thoughts on access to dental care, your questions, 800-642-1234. What opportunities for oral care have you encountered? Have you found a free clinic? Do you have a child who has delayed seeing a dentist? What barriers are out there? What are you encountering? 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Rich now, who joins us from Two Rivers. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I want to ask your guest speaker about not only the lower Medicaid patients that have to pay or don't have to pay, but there's a whole segment of the population that goes down to Mexico, whether Nueve Progreso or from Laredo or from El Paso, that take busloads of people down there because they get, I feel, better dental care for a tenth of the price. And it's not just the lower middle class, but it's the middle class that can't afford it either. I just want to ask the
Dr. Bhagavatula, what about going to other countries to get access to care, going across the border to Mexico?
I've seen on the news, I know as much as anybody that people are going, especially from parts of Texas. There are, especially on the other side of the border, there are clinics and cities where they are providing care. I am personally not involved with any of those. I don't even know the quality of care that is being provided. As long as it is good and people are satisfied, it may be an option for people who cannot find care. And dental care is expensive, even for people with insurance. So, I cannot really comment on that because I'm not aware.
Sure.
I don't know the quality of the care that is being provided. I mean, here all the dentists are trained in a very rigorous program. They go through a rigorous screening process by the time they get to provide care to patients. Right? We have to go through it's called a board examination where other dentists actually see the quality of work we do and everything. So any dental clinic you walk into, you can be reasonably sure that the quality of care that is being provided is not subpar.
Let's go to Roger now, who joins us from Nina. Hi, Roger.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a flip side to this. I work for a small company who does not carry insurance. So I go to the Obamacare website, and I apply there, and they tell me that I do not qualify for their care. They say I need to go to my state care. So I go to my state care, and they say I make too much money for Badger care. I have to go to Obamacare. Now, I've gone to free clinics. I've been turned away. I've been dealing this for years. I just can't get any kind of dental. I can't get it.
Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, any suggestions here?
It's a highly unfortunate thing. Wisconsin chose not to expand Medicaid, and a lot of people fell through cracks. But there are clinics, like one of the callers previously mentioned. Maybe try to find a clinic that can provide care on a sliding fee scale, for example. So if you don't make enough money, maybe you can go to a federally qualified health clinic where they may be able to charge a sliding fee scale. So what you pay will be out of pocket, but again will be linked to how much money you are making. So that way you don't have to spend the whole dollar amount to get the necessary dental care. I don't know which part of the state you are from, and if you're here in around Milwaukee area, Marquette does offer services at a much lower cost than other private clinics in the state of Wisconsin or around in the Milwaukee area.
Roger, thanks for bringing us your story. Let's go to Karen now in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Karen.
Hello, good morning. I just wanted to comment that I have a family member that works at Access Community Health Center in the Madison area. They have multiple locations, and they are a federally funded healthcare center providing dental and medical care, and they do work on a sliding scale. And I think that would be great if they could get more federal funding for having even more dentists go there, because they do great work and they see all types of patients from young to very old.
Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, do you see these sliding fee scale dental offices working on the long run?
I mean, we have had federally qualified health centers running successfully for a very long time. There are quite a few centers out there. They do get federal funding. There are federal lookalikes which try to charge a fee scale. They are not totally federally qualified, but there are clinics out there which seem to be working. Again, we should remember Medicaid does reimburse federally qualified health centers at a slightly higher rate than they do private practitioners. So it kind of helps them stay afloat and try to contribute to their extent to solve the problem in access to care.
So how do we address these barriers to closing this gap? What would you be suggesting that you and other dentists could do across the country, and what could lawmakers do?
This is a much bigger problem than a dentist or even dentistry can do, because, you know, we are dealing with one, reimbursement rates, dentists not getting paid enough to treat these patients. So the lawmakers can maybe extend what we have as a pilot program to try and increase the reimbursement rates for dentists, which is cited as one of the most common reasons why dentists are not taking care of patients who are on Medicaid. And so from the dentist part, I think there are a lot of dentists do donate care. Some dentists who are not actually enrolled with or on board with Medicaid, they do give away some dental care as part of donated dental services program. But again, there is always room for improvement. Dentists can always increase the number of patients that they are seeing, or try to work on different models. I mean, there are some practices which try to set aside some time within their day or within the week where they only see Medicaid patients, or they try to fill in their schedules with Medicaid patients. Okay, that way you're not just leaving your equipment sitting idle. You're just trying to generate some income when you have gaps in your schedule. So that's something that dentists can do. Yes, the reimbursement rates are lower, but it is better than just sitting idle. And that's one of the things that I would want the Dental Association or the American Dental Association trying. I like that model where dentists try and get in at least a few patients who are on Medicaid so they don't go broke, which we don't want, because dentists are the people who have to take care of these individuals. So that's probably a good solution in my mind.
Let's hear from another dentist now, Dana in Madison. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a dentist in the Madison area. I've been in practice for 34 years, and I think that what is in need, we need some public outrage. We need people to go and vote for representatives that will fund the Medicaid program so that there is enough money to actually pay the dentist, so that when they do dentistry, it is at least at a break-even basis.
May I ask you if you accept Medicaid patients?
Well, I have recently retired and sold my practice, but up until that point, I was probably the last dentist in town that did accept Medicaid patients, and I was truly overwhelmed with patients calling. I mean, every day at least 10 or 20 people would call searching for a dentist that accepted Medicaid.
How did this impact your practice? How did this change the way your practice works or worked?
Well, after a time, I just had to limit the number of Medicaid patients that I could see in any given day, and I instructed my staff just to accept as your guest had rightly commented that is the basic strategy for dentists, just to take one or two Medicaid patients a day. And really, if all the dentists did that, that would certainly alleviate a problem, but I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime.
Well, thank you so much for coming forth and offering your opinion. And before we go to a break here, Dr. Bhagavatula, do you have a reaction to what Dana is saying?
Again, I'm happy that he, in some ways, only complimented what I said, you know, the idea that each dentist can do a little bit to solve the larger problem or, you know, do their bit. So that might be a larger, longer-term solution than, in some ways, waiting for the legislator to actually increase the reimbursement rates, which may or may not happen.
According to a new poll out this month by University of Michigan, families who are low-income, less educated, and on Medicaid are less likely to receive professional guidance about dental care. This is particularly problematic because low-income children have higher rates of early childhood tooth decay and would benefit from early dental care. One in six parents, the survey found, who did not receive advice from a healthcare provider believe children should delay dentist visits until age 4. Another layer to think about as we explore access to dentists on this hour of the morning show. We have Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula, who stays with us. He's an associate professor for the program in dental public health. He's a researcher at Marquette University School of Dentistry. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts on access to dental care at 800-642-1234. Have you found it difficult to find a dentist who accepts Medicaid? Do you have a child who has delayed seeing a dentist? What barriers are there? What opportunities have you found for oral care that you've encountered? Call in, email your story ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. During fiscal year 2016, combined federal and state spending for Medicaid here in Wisconsin totaled about $7.7 billion. That compared to nationwide spending of about $553 billion. A new pilot project in Wisconsin is paying some dentists for taking on patients who get insurance through Medicaid. We're talking about access to dental care on this hour of the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you suffered from poor oral health? How did this impair your daily lifestyle or your work? What do you think should be done to address inequality in dental health care? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula stays with us, a Marquette University School of Dentistry researcher and associate professor. Lisa in Milwaukee called. She couldn't stay with us. Lisa says this is a cycle. She says she couldn't afford dental care for years. She needed 7 teeth pulled last month. Now she says she has a huge bill that she can't pay, which was the reason she couldn't get dental care in the first place. How do you stop this cycle?
Again, that's the crux of the problem. People don't get to see the dentist. The treatment need actually increases. So it's economically not a viable solution. I mean, my specialization, like you mentioned, I'm in public health, so I would emphasize on prevention than even extensive treatment. So to stop something from happening would be better off. I mean, people end up being in a situation where they need root canal treatments or get the teeth pulled and then get some additional processes like a denture or a crown or something needed. So it's just, I think that kind of emphasizes the point that if dentists are reimbursed at a rate where they are comfortable, may not be at the level of a private insurance plan, and they're more likely to see these people on Medicaid, maybe we'll save costs at a different level. I mean, we have heard extensively about how people are going to emergency rooms to get their treatment, which is definitely not the way to go. And every time someone goes to an emergency room, thousands of dollars are spent, and we don't have any definitive treatment or outcome. They just go there, they get an antibiotic prescription maybe, but that would resolve the infection for a brief period of time, but they are in need of dental care again. So I think if reimbursement rates, for example, are increased for the preventive or some preliminary or minor procedures, at least a dentist can bring those people in and start treating them, maybe we can stop these larger treatments or larger treatment needs from becoming the need.
Let's go to Ian now in Janesville. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
So I'm actually an administrator of a free and charitable clinic in Wisconsin, in Janesville, Wisconsin, called HealthNet of Rock County. We actually are one of 93 free and charitable clinics across the state of Wisconsin. And the reason why that's a big deal is because there are community health centers across the state of Wisconsin that are federally funded and supported by the federal government, but there's less than 20 of them. There are 93 free and charitable clinics, and a lot of them are working towards providing dental care and services right now. What the big difference between those large community health centers and free and charitable clinics right now is that there are, the federally qualified health centers get federal assistance, and free and charitable clinics do not. So as kind of been previously stated, making that reimbursement rate higher certainly benefits us just to make sure that we can keep our doors open. We as a free and charitable clinic right now, we see approximately, we live in a county of 160,000 people. 25,000 people are on Badger Care. As we stated in the state oral health report, or as we saw kind of a couple years ago, only 25% of those people have been able to see a dentist in the last year. So we're serving that other 75% of those 25,000 people. In my county, we're only one of two places in which you can do that.
And let me clarify here, Ian, you're with HealthNet of Rock County, providing free dental services to qualified uninsured residents of Janesville, Beloit, and Rock County. Is that right?
Correct, yes. Uninsured and underinsured. So those who are on Badger Care, but those who are also with the VA. So what is really understated is even though Wisconsin is one of the best places for veterans to receive benefits, they still receive their health care from the federal government. And veterans many of them are struggling with poverty or transitioning back, unless 100% of your injury with your tooth, so if you have a tooth that's about to fall out or decay, unless 100% of that can be attributed to service, the VA does not cover your dental benefits.
So, Ian, let me ask you this while we have you on the line here. Have you seen an increase, a plateau of patients at HealthNet for dental services over the years? What is the trajectory here?
So, yes. About 2 years ago, we were used to be like a part-time dental clinic where we only saw, we were only open 20 hours a week. We only had volunteer dentists, and we saw the need. What happened was we started to fundraise so that we could hire a dentist so that we could be open 40 hours a week. We added two hygienists in our little dental clinic, and after that happened, within 6 months, we saw a 172% increase in the people walking into our doors. After we started accepting Medicaid, Badger Care, the uninsured, and those on the VA, and we were open 40 hours a week. The need is clearly there. We get numerous new patient calls on a daily basis because of that.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for coming into this conversation, and we really appreciate it. Dr. Bhagavatula, HealthNet making it happen in Rock County, do you see successes going on around the state?
I mean, I think that's a really good model where we have. I mean, I knew there were a lot of charitable clinics out there, but 93 is a pretty good number to have. And if they are serving the need of the community, I think there's nothing like it. But still, there is need for doing more. I mean, I applaud what they are doing, but there are still people who need to be taken care of. So I think it's a good success. I mean, I applaud their effort.
Judy tweeted at WPR Morning. She says she's a geriatrics registered nurse. Judy says poor dental health in elderly Medicaid patients leads to weight loss. It leads to systemic infection, isolation, depression, and even death. She says it's also hard to find a dentist who takes wheelchair or stretcher appointments. She writes that dentists need their stuff, so they can't simply round in a nursing home. How do you respond to that?
I mean, that's probably the state of affairs as we speak, but I think there is an increased emphasis in dental training currently, that we are training new dentists to be more comfortable treating people from all ages with all treatment need levels. And I mean, in order to go out to nursing homes, I think the need is significant. One, two, Medicare does not have any dental coverage whatsoever. So that's probably one of the reasons that dentists don't get to see patients in nursing homes. The treatment need is also very, very high. So, I mean, I understand what she's saying, but I hope that it's going to change, because right now within the dental curriculum, we have a lot of emphasis on training dentists or new beginning providers to be able to handle patients with a higher level of treatment needs and more complicated medical histories.
Many Americans see dental care as a luxury. Are you optimistic that dental care will no longer be considered a luxury by Americans?
I hope that day comes. Again, a lot of people look at it as luxury because, one, it's not covered by insurance, one, and also it is very expensive. But then we have to remember most dental disease is preventable. So even if people get that enough information about how to stave off dental disease, like eating right, brushing and flossing properly, if we can overall get the disease levels down, it's going to be a huge benefit for the country itself. Because, yes, we have seen a decline in dental caries, that is dental cavity rates overall over the past few decades, but it is still a problem for large swaths of the country. So I hope a day comes when it is no longer seen as luxury or even optional. A lot of people think that let's go to the dentist when the tooth hurts and let's just put that off. But I think that that attitude needs to change. You go to the dentist for to stop disease from occurring in the future. You get that enough information from the dentist about taking care of your teeth. If there are any cavities that are found which are in a preliminary stage, you get a filling done. So that will stop you from having a need to go in for a root canal or having a tooth pulled in or get a crown made or whatnot, which are more expensive, both to the individual patient as well as to the society.
Dr. Bhagavatula, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Pradeep Bhagavatula is an associate professor for the program in dental public health. He's a researcher at Marquette University School of Dentistry. This hour, The Morning Show is produced by Nyasia Ellison and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.